Today, we are studying the book of 2 Thessalonians. And that's the English right up there for 2 Thessalonians. And we're already in chapter 2. So we're going to read the chapter, and then we're going to explain the chapter. So, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the first two verses, I put a title on this. This is not the Bible here, but this is my title to help us understand. The day of the Lord has not come. Believe the Bible, not men. So the Thessalonians were disturbed. They thought they missed something. And they had not missed anything. The day of the Lord had not come. Now, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you. That means don't be tricked. For it will not come, it meaning the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now? So that in his time, he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them, that's this group, a deluding influence, so that they will believe the lie, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the conclusion, last verses. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Well, now you read a chapter in the Bible. Did you enjoy it? It's a great chapter in the Bible. So our first point here with the first two verses
is Paul is telling the believers not to be shaken, not to be upset from their composure. Here's what they thought. I'll get my marker out here. There we go. What did they think had happened? It says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, not to be quickly shaken from your composure." All right, as if the day of the Lord had come. Paul's talking about, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to him. There's two events that Paul is centered on here that I'll put up on the chart. First of all, our gathering. And I might have to do some abbreviation here. I'm skipping the ing, it's too hard. All right? But the first event that we want to focus on here, even though he says, with regard to the coming of our Lord, there's two events here. It begins with our gathering together to him. Before the Lord Jesus left, he taught his disciples in John chapter 14 that if he went away, he would come again. Now that is old news, that the Messiah would come, he'd start a kingdom on earth, and his feet would actually come, he would come from heaven and his feet would touch on the mountain that's just east of Jerusalem. What direction is east? That's north. Just east of Jerusalem. This way, here's Jerusalem. The Lord's, and so the Old Testament taught that when the Messiah, the Savior, Christ, would come, he would rest his feet just east of Jerusalem, and it would be an event the whole world would see. That's the coming of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus told the disciples a secret that no one knew about. He says, "If I come again, I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord Jesus hinted that before he came to earth, he would first come and remove the believers from earth. And that's then the gathering, isn't it? That's the gathering. That means you pick up everything, put it in your arms, and go away. This is good to know that before the Lord Jesus, and so we're putting the coming down here, and I'm going to abbreviate again because it's so hard to write. But there's the two events. The gathering, when the Lord Jesus returns, there's a group of people called the church. The church is a special group of believers that began trusting the Lord Jesus right after the cross, and it's all the ones from shortly after the cross to when the Lord Jesus comes for the gathering. That group is called his bride. We're different than Israel. Israel has promises that promise Israel a land on earth. So Israel will be a land on earth one day. And the Lord Jesus will return. He will be king of the earth, and he'll rule the nation of Israel, and he'll also rule all the other nations. So some churches pray. They pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." And that prayer is thinking about the coming, that the Lord Jesus is going to come on earth and have a kingdom on earth. But he's coming back with a bride. The Lord is making right now today of everyone, if you trust Jesus as your Savior today, you're part of the bride of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loves you in a special way. And that's good to know. And so the bride, all the believers will be gathered together to him for a wedding in heaven. And then 7 years later, the Lord Jesus will come back. And that's the kingdom. So what happens between then and there? Paul is helping the Thessalonian Christians understand because people were telling them wrong things. And so he says, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming, and we have that, and are gathering together, that don't be quickly shaken to the effect that, and he has one other event there. And what is that event? That's the day of the Lord. So where do we put that? After we leave, the Lord takes control of earth. Before he even returns, the Lord begins punishing sin on earth. And it's a terrible time for people who are left behind. They have not trusted Jesus as Savior, and they're experiencing the judgment of God. And so that judgment and that day, which is a whole period of time, is called the day. How am I going to abbreviate this? How is that? Is that good enough? Day of the Lord? And so our gathering, the day of the Lord and the Lord's coming. And what had happened is someone had said the day of the Lord has come. There are Christians today that teach the day of the Lord has come. And Paul wants you to know that the day of the Lord has not come. He is going to show us what must happen before the day of the Lord happens. And the one thing that must happen before the day of the Lord comes is we have to be taken away. Christians will not be here to experience any part of this 7 years. But Paul is going to help us understand that. But we have something here that's very important to see. Where do you get your information about Christianity? I hope you don't get your information from YouTube. I hope you do not get your information about Christianity from Instagram. I hope you do not get your information on anything from TikTok. What am I leaving out? I got Facebook. Did I leave out Facebook? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Okay. None of that is the Bible. The only place where you can learn with authority the truth is the Bible. And so the Thessalonians were not listening to the Bible, were they? They were on TikTok. Wait, there was no TikTok. If there had been TikTok, they would have been on TikTok, but Satan had something other than TikTok at the time. Satan had people who were pretending to be prophets, and they were having a spirit speak through them. And Paul is very clear that the spirits of the prophets were to test the prophets to see what kind of spirit was in each person pretending to speak. We don't have prophets today. Prophecy has disappeared. The Bible tells us that in the development of the church age, there was a foundation. The same way you build a house, you put the foundation in one time, and then you build on the foundation. And the Bible tells us the first foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. And then Paul says the next step on the foundation is the prophets, meaning the New Testament prophets and the apostles. And the New Testament prophets and the apostles taught the word of God, talking, and then they taught the Word of God by writing the 27 books we have in the New Testament. So this part of your Bible here is written by New Testament apostles and prophets. Once this part of your Bible is written, the Bible is complete. And God did away with prophets, and in the very first generation, God did away with the apostles. And so what did Paul tell the people to listen to? He said, listen to us, the apostles. We don't listen to people. So he says, they were getting should put this in red. They were listening to spirits speak through prophets, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because they were getting false information. They were getting messages from teachers. They were getting letters from other Christians. And, as if it were from them. So people were pretending to have the authority of the apostles, and they were delivering fake and false information. So the only reliable source is the Bible. You know, that's why this year, you know what we're doing? We're reading the whole Old Testament in one year, and you can be a part of that. You can start today. There's a list on the back. And it's every day of the year, starting January, but you're not too far behind. Just start on the day and check off the chapters in Genesis that you read. You are going to be amazed. Most of the questions that people ask me about the Bible, I love you to ask questions, but most of the questions I just roll my eyes, because I know if you just read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'd know the answer to your question. Wouldn't that be great if you asked me a question, how do you know I'm right? I try to show you from the Bible. When you ask me a question, I try to show you from the Bible so you can see it's not Craig talking. It's the Bible speaking. But God gave the Bible to every Christian. And today in history, in the church, God's building a bride, but he also is making, he has made every Christian a priest. And that means you have the authority to open this book, read it with understanding, and pass its truth on to other people. And so there are no special human priests. Every believer has made a priest. You can open your Bible, ask God to help you to understand it. And really, this is your responsibility. I'm telling you your responsibility. If you can't read, you can listen to the Bible read to you, can't you? And so, either way, your responsibility is taking in the Bible. Now, God has given teachers to help us understand what we're reading, but you understand I make mistakes. And even when the Apostle Paul was teaching, the Christians that God said they were really good Christians, they were on the ball, he said they checked out the things that were spoken by Paul, and they looked at the Bible to see if what Paul was saying was true. Imagine if the Apostle Paul came up and gave a message. We would say, well, everything he said is true. Maybe he was having a bad day. And so it would be good to check the Bible. And so this is really, really important. If the Thessalonians had simply remembered what Paul had said, they would not have been shaken from their composure. You know, your composure is when you're put together and calm, you have peace. When you're not put together and you're not calm, you've lost your composure. And you're shaken. So that's Paul's message here. And he says, they were thinking the day of the Lord had come And so Paul has a message for them. He says, let no one deceive you. And of course, that means trick you, right? For it, and the it here, is the day of the Lord. So don't let anyone trick you about Bible prophecy. The day of the Lord cannot come unless what comes first? I'm going to change it to back to blue. Back to red. Yeah, back to blue. Okay. It didn't change. There we go. What has to come first? The day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And so, whatever the apostasy is, let's just put that down here. The day of the Lord will not come. First comes the apostasy. And I'm going to just abbreviate it just like that. The apostasy will come first. The word apostasy means a revolt. It means a rebellion or a revolt. It's used of men who rise up against their country and try to overthrow the government. It is used in the Old Testament. If you remember Old Testament history, when Antiochus Epiphanes was a Greek man who went into the temple of God and offered up a pig on the Jewish Holy of Holies in that place. And that was called an apostasy or a revolt. So it can be a political trying to overthrow a country, or it can be trying to overthrow God. And we are in a day and we're in an age where people are attempting to overthrow or rebel against the truth of God. And so before the Lord Jesus comes, there has to be a special kind of revolt against God, a rebellion against God and His truth. And Paul is going to help us understand, well, what is the rebellion? Who leads the rebellion? And if you're confused, the Thessalonians were confused too. But here's what we have so far. When we think about the order of things, Paul is saying our gathering comes first. After our gathering, before the day of the Lord can happen, the revolt, the rebellion against God must happen. And then the day of the Lord, and then the Lord Jesus returns. He comes back and establishes kingdom. And so what is tied then to this? This is pretty easy to see. He says, again, let no one deceive you. Don't be tricked about this. There's only like five things up here. That the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. All right, so we have now a new character. And he has to be revealed. Who has to be revealed? What is he called here? He's called the man of lawlessness. All right? And he's also called the son of what? Destruction. He's called the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. Before the day of the Lord happens, and this is part of this, is that an eraser? Let's erase this. See what happens. Hey, it didn't work. Oh, look, it worked. Okay. There we go. Okay. So, he has to be, so the man of lawlessness has to be revealed. This is the apostasy. And so this man of lawlessness has to be revealed as the son of what? The son of destruction. And so we are going to put two D's up here. He has to be revealed as the son of destruction. And let's keep reading. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. What's the revolt here? You can see the revolt. Let's say that this is the temple of God here. And if we look at the temple of God, we step into the temple of God, there's a table in the very inside part of the temple of God. And it's called the Holy of Holies. And this table is called the Ark of the Covenant because it's a box. And inside the box, there's the Ten Commandments. There's a few other objects. And on top of the box, there's two angels that face each other. And they look down. The angels are looking down. So can you picture this piece of furniture? And you've got two angels built on it. And the angels are looking down and their wings are out like this. And the other angel, the angel's name's Cherubim, special kind of angel. And he's looking down at this. What are they looking down to see? They're looking down to see the blood. So after the church is gone, the Jewish people are going to start offering animal sacrifices again. And worship will be changed. They'll be offering animal sacrifices again, and one of the sacrifices they bring in is they put blood right here on the horns of this altar, on the corners of the altar. Those angels look down for the blood. So what this man is going to do, instead of bringing blood in, because the blood is already poured out by the Lord Jesus. So any more blood we put there isn't counting for anything, is it? Because the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, cleans us from all sin. There really is no need for another sacrifice. But after we're gone, the Jewish people don't know that because they're not saved. So they're going to start offering blood offerings. But this man, he's called the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. He's going to step into this Jewish place. He's going to come up here to this piece of furniture, which is a sign of the presence of God. And he's going to say, I am God. And he's going to lift himself above everything called God, or, let me get my pointer here, he opposes and exalts himself. That means he lifts himself higher. So I guess I should get up here. He lifts himself higher, and he exalts himself above every so-called God, and so he's saying to the world, now this is to the whole world, he's saying, whatever gods you worship, if you worship Buddha, if you worship any of the Hindu gods, if you worship any of the African idols, he's saying, you worship me or you die. You would put all those idols away. But not only the so-called gods, it says every object of worship. He's actually lifting himself above God's temple and God's furniture. And so he comes in there, and that's not all he does. He takes his seat in the temple of God. And so he is going to come here, and he's going to sit in this room. The insidemost part of the temple of God, where only God has a seat. There is no seat for a man in the Holy of Holies. And so in the Holy of Holies, he's going to make a seat for himself where no man has a seat. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only God has a seat there. And so he takes his seat in the temple of God right here, displaying himself. That means showing himself as being what? God. And that's a lie. Is that true? Okay, here's the lie. He's saying he is God. And is you worship him as God or you die. You put away your idols. You acknowledge him as God, and we read in the book of Revelation, he has a special incentive to help you worship him, doesn't he? You worship him or you can't buy or sell. You can't go to the grocery store because you're not buying with money. It's your debit card. There's no cash at that time. Everyone has electronic transactions, and so you die. You either worship him or die. And so he said, do you remember while I was with you, I was still telling you these things. So he's called the son of destruction here. In the next paragraph, he's going to be called the son of deception. So I got an abbreviation for that too. All right. And it almost looks the same, but it's got a C on it. So let's look at our timeline. Paul is helping us understand the timeline because the Thessalonians were confused. They were worried. They missed the coming of the Lord. Can you miss the coming of the Lord? No. If Jesus returns today, and if you know, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, He is going to receive you to heaven. And He actually sees hearts, and He knows if you just sit in church and pretend, or if you have actually come to the Lord Jesus and received Him as your Savior. So that would be a challenge for us right now, wouldn't it? Are you just sitting here? Or have you made the decision that the Lord Jesus will be your Savior? And if you have, you should say so. Tell the world. And so, the gathering is everyone has trusted the Lord Jesus. And then the revolt against God, the apostasy comes. And that happens as a man is revealed. And in our paragraph, he's called the son of destruction here because he destroys the things of God, doesn't he? He's a destroyer. In the next paragraph, he's going to be called the son of deception. Why would he be called the son of deception? He's the son of destruction because he ruins and breaks everything. He destroys the temple of God. He's now called the son of deception because he tricks people. And this is why it's called deception. So we're going to have to go down here. Oh, and then once he's revealed, the day of the Lord comes. And he's revealed in two ways. He's revealed as the son of, the son of destruction. And he's revealed as the son of deception. So now we have, let's read this next part again. And the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains him will do so until he's taken away. Then that lawless one, so there he's called, like the son of lawlessness, he's called the lawless one again, will be revealed. It's like he's saying the same thing twice here, isn't he? The man of lawlessness will be revealed as the one who destroys. And then we'll have the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. And this is the one who comes with deception. It's the same person, but he's coming in two ways. And this is how he's revealed. This is how the revolt happens. So the revolt of the man of sin, sometimes we call him the Antichrist, and he has some other titles as well, but we're calling him the man of lawlessness here. He has a two-pronged attack as he's being revealed. He is coming as the son of deception because he's going to trick people into receiving him instead of the truth. He's coming as the son of destruction because he's going to destroy things. Now, who does that remind you of? He's a human. He's a real human. But who does that remind you of? Do you know any other character in the Bible who destroys like a lion and tricks like a snake? In fact, the first time we meet him in the Bible, he appears as a snake. Well, that would be Satan, wouldn't he? So, the Bible tells us two things about Satan, that he is the serpent or the snake who was in Genesis chapter 3 when Eve was tricked. Satan did not threaten Eve to kill her if she did not eat the fruit. He tricked her. He deceived her into thinking that was the best thing she could possibly do was to eat that fruit and have her eyes open. But Satan has a character. The Bible says that he's the roaring lion prowling about seeking for people to devour or eat up. So Satan has always two plans to attack the Lord's people. And one is to trick you, and the Thessalonians were tricked, weren't they? They said, oh no, the day of the Lord has come. Paul said, if you stick with your Bible, you're not going to be tricked. He says, don't you remember I told you these things when I was with you? But the problem was the false teachers came in and they told them louder and they told them more and they delivered more messages, louder messages, tricky messages to get the believers to believe wrong things and to shake them up. So the believers lost their confidence in the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus may come this second and gather Christians to himself. Don't ever lose that hope. That is your peace in this world. That is your composure. That's what holds your heart together, is knowing that at any moment the Lord Jesus could return and remove the believers, and then his bride will be in heaven with him, and we'll have a wedding, and we'll have a feast. But these are great promises. But for those who are left behind, the Antichrist is coming in these two forms, and the destruction, and then as the one who tricks. And just look at his tricking here. So he's coming, he's being revealed with deception, and what is he going to do? Power and signs and false wonders. So we say miracles, right? He's going to do miracles. So if I did a miracle in front of you today, would that make my message true? Would that prove? If someone says something, say, I'm going to show you I'm true because I'm going to make, I can't think of anything to do. I'll throw my pointer down and it will become a snake. Does that make my message true? Probably makes you run out the building, right? Because I don't like snakes. There's a snake. I'm running. All right? But if I did a miracle, would it make my message true? No. You and I have to remember that Satan does miracles. And as we approach the end, before the gathering and after the gathering, Satan is going to become more and more active in false prophets, in false teachers. Remember, you've got the spirits through the prophets. You've got the messages through the teachers and the prophets, and they're false, but they're confirmed by miracles. And I see it on TV all the time, where there's a false Christianity, where people come in and the preacher lays his hand and you're healed. And they even sometimes say, and they raise the dead. And then those people go out and they go to the doctor the next day. Because that's false Christianity. God did use miracles at the beginning of the church. It was a part of the foundation. The apostles proved their message by doing miracles that could not be questioned. But the real proof of the apostles' message was that it agreed with the Old Testament word of God. But Satan will also, that, you know, if you read, so you've read your Bible, and if you've gotten through to the point in your read Exodus, where God is bringing Israel out of the land of Egypt, and their slaves and their captives inside the nation of Israel. And so God gives Aaron and Moses miracles to perform. And they have great miracles. One of the miracles was to throw Aaron's staff, his stick down, and it became a snake. What did the magicians of Pharaoh do? The magicians of Pharaoh did the same miracle. Satan empowered the magicians of Pharaoh to do the same miracle. They threw their staffs or their sticks down, and those sticks became snakes. God did that for a purpose, to help us understand that the miracles that God did helped open the eyes so that the people of God would believe the truth of God. But the miracles that Satan did were less than God's miracles, but they kept the people who did not want to believe God in the dark. I just can't say this enough. Just because there's a miracle doesn't mean it's true. It's probably a trick. If my wife is sick, I'm going to pray for her. And if God does the miracle of healing her, I'm going to thank God for that miracle. But I am not going to stand up here and put my hand on you and say, God healed you, go your way, because that's false teaching. God can do miracles, but Satan can do miracles. So I guess I got my point there. So you've got the man deceived. And so here's the response now. So by way of review, the gathering comes first. The coming of the Lord Jesus is at the end of all this period, and the day of the Lord does not happen until the revolt against God begins. And that begins with the man of sin, or the man of lawlessness, showing himself, this is really backwards in the way it is, first as the son of deception, and then as the son of destruction. So he has a point in putting them in this order. And then that's the day of the Lord happening. That's the sign. And then the Lord is coming. Now. Oh. I'm trying to think what I should talk about now, because there's something really important here. You see this word? I think we should switch to red if it works. Do you know what keeps this from happening today? You see, we have Paul told the Thessalonians, you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. What keeps this from happening today? Well, there's deception today, and Satan is trying to destroy things today, but it's not the revolt. And there's no temple that the Antichrist has come in and declared himself to be God. And as you think about that big lie, that is the lie. And I'll put the lie in a very, very understandable way. The lie is that man can become God. And it very naturally comes out of the teaching of evolution, where in the end, man has developed himself. The man of lawlessness is now the fully developed, completely evolved man who has now become God. And so that's the lie. What's the truth, by the way? The truth is not that man can become God. That was Satan's lie in the garden. You will be as God, knowing good and evil. And so that lie hasn't changed from when sin came into the world. Satan whispered, you're going to be God. You're going to be like God. God's truth is that God became man. It's a pretty big difference, isn't it? God becomes man so that he can save men. God can do what man can't do. Offer up his son on the cross and pay for the eternal punishment of sin. So here's the lie that the world is going to believe more and more, is that man can become God. And you're being prepared for that through evolution. And then the truth is, God became man. And you have to decide which you're going to believe. Are you becoming more God-like? Are you getting better and better until one day you'll be as good as it needs to be to get to heaven? Well, that's the lie. The truth is, I'm so bad that if God doesn't step in, I'm lost. And which have you believed? And so there is someone who is restraining the man of lawlessness from coming. And there's two key words that I put in yellow here. It is called what restrains him and he who restrains him. And so I'll give you a little lesson in English here. Is in our nouns, we have a masculine, we have feminine, And we have one more gender. What's that? Masculine, feminine? Neuter. Okay. And we have it in real life as well as in grammar. Masculine, of course, men would be referred to as he. Do you see why Satan is messing everything up today?
Yeah.
And gender feminine, so females, women, are said to be she. And when it comes to things, ghosts and spirits have no gender. So this is not, for those of you who are up a little scale here on this, this is not grammatical gender. This is actual physical gender. And so if we're referring to a man, we use masculine. If we're referring to a woman, we use a feminine gender. If we're referring to a thing that has no sex, masculine or feminine, like a spirit, we use the neuter. This is what's happening here. So you can look behind here. First, Paul says, you know what? And guess what? That is the neuter. So what is the neuter that restrains the working? It's a spirit. But what spirit? God's Holy Spirit is right now restraining wickedness in the world today. And he is keeping the Antichrist from appearing until his proper time. In fact, since we've read Genesis, we already know that before the flood, God said, my spirit, capital S, my spirit will not strive with men forever. His days will be 120 years. That did not refer to the lifetime of men. That referred to a clock that was set before the flood would come into the world. The spirit's job in all of history, one of his many jobs, is keeping wickedness from fully developing. And so what's going to happen before the day of the Lord can come is the Holy Spirit is going to remove his influence so wickedness can run full course. Kind of seems like that's happening a little bit today, but it's not going to happen totally until the church is removed. All right, and so now, however, the Holy Spirit is not an it. When we consider the Holy Spirit as a person now, we refer to the Holy Spirit as a he. And so this is a grammatical he. This is saying that he's a person. And so we have two things about the restrainer. The restrainer is grammatically agreeing with the fact that it's a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And then grammatically telling us it's a person. It's a he. And so there's two things about that. And this helps us understand. Some people would say it's the church that restrains. And that's true. The church will be removed and then all of this will happen. But there's an actual person who restrains sin in the world. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will not be removed from the earth. What will happen to the ministry of the Holy Spirit? He will be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will not be removed from the earth, but he's going to stop his restraining work on sin. So one job the Holy Spirit has, to keep sin from running and completing what sin has to do. The Holy Spirit is going to stop that and let sin do the worst that sin can do. He's going to let man be the worst that man can be. And that's the restraint that's lifted when the Holy Spirit is given approval to do that. So I hope you understand that. And that's where we're going to have to stop this. But it's good to know that God anticipates the future. That the bad things and the evil things that are happening in the world, and worst of all in your life, are actually a part of a program. And Satan wants to use that for evil. He wants to trick you and keep you from knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. But he is going to trick people this group of people. He says, with all deception for those who perish, the people who go to hell, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So, let me get this up here. They might believe. One, we'll go over this next. Whoops, sorry. It's either all. Either you believe the lie. It says God will send them a deluding influence if they will believe the lie. Or because they did not receive the love of the truth, they would not receive the truth. So if you do not receive the truth, Satan has a lie for you. So turn to the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Will you turn to the Lord Jesus today? And if you know the Lord, don't let anything shake you up. Jesus is coming. The worst that earth has, you will be gone. You will be gone. I'm going to close in prayer. There was a lot to think about in this message. But think about, have you received Jesus as your Savior? That's the love of the truth. Or are you believing what is false? Is your trust in man? Or is your trust for salvation in the Lord Jesus? That's a great thing to think about. And as I pray, talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to the Lord yourself. If you want to receive Jesus as Savior right now, it's a perfect day. The right time is now.